He that receiveth you receiveth me, words of Jesus. He that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth the prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive the prophet's reward. And he that receiveth the righteous man in the name of the righteous man shall receive the righteous man's reward. Let's receive our brother tonight, James Mayfield, welcoming back the pulpit of his church.
Can you hear me?
All right.
It's humbling to be behind this pulpit. I listen to the man that I pray preach here myself, Brother Bud, Brother Ken, Brother Asa. This whole thing.
Right.
Brother Ken talked about receiving men to preach in the church. Let us always be mindful that God sends men into the church to preach. Let us always be discerning. You do not welcome somebody with a false doctrine.
Right.
What in the world is going on in this world this day? wild and crazy times. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I used to share with you, I didn't intend for him to share with the whole church, but anytime you're prepared to preach anything about spiritual warfare, be ready, because the battle's coming. If I sound a little funny or talk a little funny tonight, it's either because I'm in South Mississippi or because I took a new migraine headache medicine. I don't know which one. It may be fine, it may be better. Let's go to the Lord in prayer now. Father, how good it is to be in the house of the Lord.
Yes,
you promised us in your word, when two or three have gathered together in your name, you're there in the midst of us. Lord Jesus, come. May the eyes of the flame of fire burn within our hearts.
Yes.
May the sword of the word from your tongue divide us asunder to bone and marrow the very thoughts and intents of your church. Father, may your feet walk amongst us, Lord, and move us and stir us. May your robe dipped in the blood cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May that ride on that white horse be evident to us that it's coming soon. And may we ride with you, Lord, in that last day.
Yes.
Lord, may we mount up on wings of eagles. May we mount on the white horse. May we follow you into the battle. Lord, may we see you conquer. May we see you cleanse. May we see you overcome. Lord, your church is ready for your return, or are we? Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight. Prepare us, O Lord God, to welcome you back and to welcome the lost into the kingdom of God, to preach the message, share Jesus Christ, be led of the Spirit, walk by faith and not by sight. The Lord, your church, your word will be effective in this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Christian spiritual warfare. I told Brother Ken, I laid this out to teach. It may be a little harder to preach. Where do we start? Let me just give you a word right here. In the last times, 2 Timothy chapter 3, this is not the text, but I want you to listen to this. This know also, in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
Folks, we're in a battle. In fact, we're in a war. And these are the times that we're living in. We as the church know what's going on, but have we forgotten what's going on? God didn't save us to sit in a pew and to be fed like birds on the limb or dogs waiting on a biscuit. God has called us into battle. I'm afraid the church has become like the valley of dry bones. And God is calling his soldiers to rise up. Bone to be bone, joint be marrow, muscle to return, boldness to come upon us, and stand up and take up the fight and follow Jesus. We're living in the last times. It's not time to be playing around. It's not time to be sitting around. It's time to stand up and fall down. Time to stand up for Jesus. Stand up for the Word of God. Stand up for what is right. Stand up for what God's called us to do. And fall down before the Lord Jesus Christ in prayer. Fall down before His holiness. Fall down in worship. Fall down to the truth. But never give place to the devil. Never give up. Slack up. Back up. But raise up, pray up, lift up the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
We are a called people, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. How many of you are in Sunday school this morning? You can raise your hands. Amen. Joshua was called to take up the fight. But what was the priest called to do? To cross the river. They had to go stand in it with the Ark of the Covenant. Folks, the river's overflowing out there. The river's getting defiled, polluted. The same things we just read about. Homosexuality, bigotry, adultery, fornication. Anything you can think of. 20 years ago, you wouldn't have thought all these things would be lifted up. What would your nation is called good evil and evil good? But it's time for the church to stand up. We have to walk by faith and not by sight. The priests had to step into the water. The river was flooded. And they still went and did what God said to do. Put their feet in the water. The church is in the water. The river is flowing. Many years ago, and it's been a long time ago, I used to run about 5 miles on Saturday on the trail. And I had to cross over bridges. And there was a river one Saturday. I was running out through there, and that river had rained all night the night before. And that river, everything's wet. And it's full of mud and leaves and sticks. And I thought, man, that's odd. This river's usually pure. Listen, the rain of sin is raining down on this nation, and the river is being polluted. And God has called the church to step into the water. When the priest stepped into the water, the flow of that dirty water stopped. We as the church are called into spiritual warfare to step into the water and stop the flow of the dirty water. To stand up for Jesus. There's a battle raging. There's a war going on. There's a struggle and a fight that we cannot avoid. Souls are at stake. Lives are being taken. Boundaries are being broken. Peace is being stolen. Unity is being disrupted. And victories are being interrupted. The enemy never rests, never stops, never surrenders without a fight. Now you might say, I don't want to be in a fight. I got news for you. You don't have a choice.
Right.
If you're a blood-bought, born-again child of God, you're called to fight. There's no base warmers in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
You say, Brother James, I'm disabled. Can you pray? Brother James, I'm old and feeble. Can you pray? God takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, the weak things to confound the strong. We have no excuse. We have the Word of God. We have the Spirit of God. We have the Lamb of God. We know the kingdom of God, and we know that God's called us to do something for the kingdom of God. The people that know their God shall be strong and do, the scripture says. And do, not sit. Do. We're at war. Matter of fact, if you want us to stand around and do nothing, you're sinning. The hen that knoweth to do right does it not to him in sin. Numbers 32:23 says, Gad, Reuben, half a tribe of Manasseh stayed on the wrong side of Jordan. And Moses warned them, if they didn't join in the battle, listen to what it says, that if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin shall find you out. That's the tribe of Israel that God had saved. How much more so, church, have we been saved? We're the New Testament church. We have a new covenant. We have met the Lamb of God. We have been saved by the Lamb of God.
Amen.
We shall serve the Lamb of God. Till the Lamb of God returns to take us home. We have no excuse. We are in a battle. We have an enemy that opposes us every way and every day. Jesus said he's the father of lies. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan's purpose is and always has been to come against God, to stop us from doing what God has called us to do, and prevent us from becoming who God has called us to be. Do you have confidence, as that lesson said this morning, in God, in God's Word, in God's promises, in God's presence? Do you have confidence in being God's people to carry on the fight? Let's go to 2 Corinthians. That's the lady there. Been having a little problem at work the last few weeks. Professor challenged me on my faith. had a little conversation. Now, he started. God finished.
Amen.
Yeah.
But still repercussions. I'm going to tell you, when you get into battle, there's going to be repercussions.
Right.
We always quote, where is he that's in me and he's in the world? And count the cost. I cannot help but speak the things I've both seen and heard.
Amen.
Now, they may not like it, but I'm sorry, that's who I am. I am who I am by the grace of God who's made me who I am.
Right.
And I'm not going to change who I am because of what they believe. Just because they're all so unsure in their belief system that they cannot stand to be rebuked. If they can't stand to talk about what they believe, then they don't really believe in anything, do they?
Right.
You can have a difference of opinion, but you can't have a difference of belief.
Right.
ETSU is teaching us that we have to be tolerant, that we have to be silent, that we have to give them a safe place. Well, there's no safer place than being in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
I'm not going to be silent. I'm sorry. It's going to cost me something. But church, we have to be willing to pay the price. There's a price to be paid. But Jesus paid it all. All of you know, sin left a crimson stain. He washed me by the snow. This is the day and the age that we need to stand up for Jesus. There's nothing new. We've seen, when you read the scriptures, you see where the prophets were beheaded, where they were sown in the summer, where they were stoned, where they were burned. There's nothing new. There's no new sin under the sun. But God, who is able, has sent us where he wants us to be, to do what he's called us to do, to reveal his glory. Church, the reason that America is in such a shape that it's in is because the church is not standing up. Now, if that's convicting, it's meant to be, because it convicts me. Before I was saved when I was a teenager, you know what I wanted to put in the yearbook? If it feels good, do it. There's a good Greek word for that, hogwash. Now, the editors of the yearbook said, we can't put that in there. Well, I'm glad they did, because that'll let the stain the rest of my life. Everybody knows it now. Look, well, I remember when you said feel good, do it. If God says do it, do it.
That's right.
Don't go by your feelings.
Amen.
Chances are it's not going to feel good. I got called on the carpet, it didn't feel good. But I counted it a blessing to be persecuted for Christ.
Amen.
Are we willing to go through the persecution for Christ? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, pulling down strongholds. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war in the flesh. My boss said, it seems like you've got a personality conflict with this person. I said, no, I've got nothing against her whatsoever, or him either. They have a personality conflict with me because my personality believes in Jesus. I've got nothing against them. Christ died for them just like he died for me. It's not the person. It's the spirit within the person. You're either for God or against God. You're either with God or away from God. You either love God or you hate God. Church, what are we doing? We're not coming to church and assembling on Sunday just to be fed. That's one thing. We come for what? We come to hear from God. God knows today what you're going to go through tomorrow. He knows what you're going to go through when you step out that door. Listen close to the Word of God when you come in here. I don't know how many times the Lord has changed the message that I've prepared to preach. We need to be tuned into the Spirit, listening to the Word of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. If it doesn't offend you, it defends you. I'll say it again, you didn't get it. If it doesn't offend you, it's defending you.
Right.
Don't keep the sword in the shelf, in the sheath. If it doesn't do any good, put it in the sheath. Take it out and use it.
Right.
It's an offensive weapon. It changes lives. It saves souls.
Amen.
Reaches the lost.
That's right.
It heals the sick. It sets those in bondage free. It gives sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, life to the dead. Folks, we've got a powerful weapon.
Amen.
We've got the Spirit of God. I can't remember the whole Bible. Can you remember the whole Bible? I had a pastor friend that had all the Psalms and all the Proverbs. Remember, Brother James Haynes. Go in his office for counseling. He'd tell you verse, chapter, and apply. The Spirit of God did that to him. He got a motorcycle wreck and got brain damage. He said, if I offend you, don't take it wrong, I'm brain damaged. I'm just giving you what God said to you. The Spirit of God will quicken the word and bring in remembrance what God said to you. We need the sword of the Spirit. So listen, the first thing about Christian warfare is spiritual. It's spiritual, not physical. It's spiritual. And God has given us weapons. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down strongholds. You know what a stronghold is? Any hold that is strong. Now, I don't know if you've got strongholds, but I know that I struggle. If you have a sin that you continually struggle with, you may have a stronghold. I've said it before, I'll say it again. If you give the devil a toehold, he'll take a stronghold.
That's right.
How do you overcome a stronghold? With spiritual weapons. How do you overcome a professor who teaches evolution? Spiritual weapons.
Right.
How do you get a lost man into the kingdom of God? Spiritual weapons. How do you witness to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints when they show up on your door? Spiritual weapons. You can't argue somebody into the kingdom of God. You can't beat them into the kingdom of God. But you can sure use the sword of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Where you have the sword, the word of God. It's a spiritual weapon. The sword will accomplish more than your words will ever accomplish. The word of God changes men's hearts, saves souls. There's nothing that I can say that will change anything that you believe. That professor asked me, he said, what would it take for me to get you to not believe in that 2,000-year-old book? I said, well, first, it's a little bit older than that. Second, nothing you can say will ever change what I believe. Third, nothing I can say will change what you believe. Only God can do that. He said, science is always changing. He said, so why do you want to believe in that old book? I said, because two things. Truth never changes.
That's right.
And the truth changes men.
That's right.
Christianity is about changing. We're more like animals than we're like God, for God created us in the Garden of Eden. But God's purpose is to make us more like Jesus than we were whenever we fell. The Word of God changes men, changes lives. We're given a shield. Our shield is faith. You put on the full armor of God, you take up the shield of faith. It turns away every fiery dart of the devil. Well, Brother James, I don't feel like the fiery dart's been turned away. I'm sick. I've had problems. My finances are having a hard time. I'm about broke. My car broke down on me in the middle of nowhere. I'm in the hospital. Somebody doesn't like me. I got cussed out. Yada, yada, yada. Well, did you hold up your shield of faith? It turns away every fiery dart of the devil. Satan is an accuser of the brethren. If you don't believe it, read Job. He went to God and accused God of making Job's life so easy that he could worship God and nobody else. God said, okay, take your best shot, buddy. Let's see what you can do. What did Job tell him in the middle of his trials? But I know who my Redeemer is. And I am persuaded. Listen, to learn something, you need to be persuaded. Do you not? God has persuaded me through the years that this is the life. This is the life. Life is in Jesus Christ. It's not in a beer bottle. It's not in a pill, unless you're talking about the Gospels. Life is in Jesus. Jesus said that I have come that they may have life and in that abundant life.
Amen.
Life more abundantly. We raise up the shield of faith. It's not personal. It's not that person. It's spiritual. All right? We have an ally. The Holy Spirit makes intercession for us in groanings that cannot be uttered. I love to hear people in this church pray led of the Spirit. We have some prayers in this church, if you don't mind a pun on the word. And we have prayers lifted up in this church. But we have a Holy Spirit who God has sent to dwell within us. And when I don't know how to pray, he prayers and groanings that cannot be uttered. And then we have Jesus who sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us to the Father at all times. We have an ally that never fails. During World War II, if it had not been for the Allies, Hitler would have won. Would he not? We have an ally in the battle. And we have artillery, prayer. Listen, the lobbing of the mortar of prayer will tear down strongholds and defeat the devil.
Right.
When two or three come in agreement touching anything in heaven, it's done. God, there's no such thing as an unanswered prayer. Prayed in the right spirit, prayed in the right name, and prayed at the right time. Did you get that?
Okay.
Don't ask for what you think is right. Ask for what God's Word says is right.
Amen.
Pray in the Word.
Right.
Pray in the Spirit. And pray in the time. Somebody asks for you to pray for them, begin praying. God wakes you up in the middle of the night to pray. Begin praying. You ever wake up in the middle of the night with a burden on your heart for somebody? Mm-hmm. It's time to pray.
Right.
You ever been driving home and God lays something on your heart to pray? It's time to pray. Don't put it off. The battle is raging. The battle is not with each other, but with the forces of wickedness. Ephesians 6:12. Let's turn over to Ephesians 6:12. Come on, Bible, I got it, Mark. Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know Satan sits in high places? He's not as high as he wanted to be. He wanted to sit on the throne. But he sits in high places. I've been in churches where I've heard people say, I rebuke you, Satan. No. The Lord rebuke you, Satan. I can't stand up to Satan, but the Spirit of God within me can stand up to Satan.
Amen.
We've got to put on the whole armor. Any of you ever wrestling fans when you're growing up? Wrestling? W-R-A-S-S-L-I. Amy's not smiling because she knows I still watch it. She has to come in and keep an eye on it. It's something that we grew up with as a kid. Dad used to take us to the Gulf Coast Ice House. That's back in time, Cowboy Bob Kelly, the big blue Yankee, and the loaded boot. Bob Kelly took the boot off and hit him in the head with it. The fight's fixed, folks. You know wrestling's fixed.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Somebody told me that when I was growing up, and I got mad in the wedding. They were close to that. Hey, God has fixed the fight. And we win. But we still have to get into the ring.
Right.
And fight the good fight of faith. Hey, the book is loaded.
Yes.
And we win. We're dwelled by the Holy Spirit who brings and remembers what God says. We have the anointing of God upon us. We have the Word of God within us. We have the armor of God upon us. And we have the promises of God that we'll succeed. Now, we may have hard times here, but look what we've got coming. All the promises in Him, yea and amen, to the glory of God in us. So, the battle is not with each other. We wrestle against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness. There's a war there. Powers, against principalities, and powers, and rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. If you don't believe that, just look at Congress and Senate and the President. Oh, we're going to go get political, James. The Word of God says He'll put people in positions of power. How many times have we seen God put people in power that we return back to God? We want to change. People want to change. We got it. But it's time for the church to bring about real change.
Amen.
I don't care what a judge in the black robe says. We have a judge in the white robe. It's a righteous judge.
That's right.
Amen.
And His judgment is final. And there's no appealing. If it's not appealed by Jesus Christ, who does intercession for us, there's no appealing to judgment. So, the battle is spiritual. Now I got another word for you. The battle is personal. It's not person to person. It's against the devil. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. Look at verse 8. Battle spiritual, battle personal. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. Your adversary. The moment you were saved, you became your adversary. Do you know before you were saved, he was your brother? You don't believe that?
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but before I was saved, I could walk in the bar and it didn't bother me one bit.
Right.
I watched some things I shouldn't watch. I did some things I shouldn't do. I went to places I shouldn't be. But when I got saved, all of a sudden I wasn't comfortable doing those things.
Right.
All of a sudden I began to have problems with those things. I told people that I gave up drinking beer. You know what the first thing they did? Well, just have one more with me. Come watch this movie with me. Oh, we used to be such good buds. I had a friend I hadn't seen in 4 or 5 years. He used to be my drinking brother. He showed up while I was a young Christian, come up to the door about half lit up. Said, hey, come on with me, I'm going to such and such. I think it was the Purple Pussycat was the name of the place. I'm pretty sure that name was a pool hall. And he and I done quite a bit of shooting in there. Don't even start shooting now, that's in the past. Forget any of those things with you behind. Press on the mark of the high pole. And I told him, Froze, I can't do that. Well, why not, man? We had such a good time. I said, I'm having a better time now. Why don't you come to church with me? Oh, man, I can't do that. Why? Well, I have to give up. I said, you can't give up more than you're going to give.
Right.
I don't know if Rose is in heaven or not. He passed away not long after that. Somebody was asking about that conversation I had with a professor this Friday. He said, you know, you can't talk to people about stuff like that. I said, listen. I can't not talk about those things. Because one day that man's going to stand before Jesus Christ. And one day if he doesn't get saved, he can't save it. Nobody ever told him, because God's going to tell him on this day, 12-12 Sun Crest Drive, you were told how to be saved. You were, the seed was planted if you were listening. Every chance you get, we need to sow seed. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil. See, the adversary is always fighting dirty. He never fights clean. The fight is up close and personal. Confronting evil is spiritual hand-to-hand combat. It's hand-to-hand combat. The Greek for that translates hand-to-hand combat. It's not on Atari. I don't even know what kids play. Well, it's not Atari, is it? Whatever it is, it's not a video game, it's real life. You can't get remote control in a battle. You've got remote control from heaven in a battle. If we submit to the Lord, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Look at verse 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same affliction is accomplished in your brethren and in the world. But the God of all grace has called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered for a while. Make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle. Oh boy. Why's God put those little words in there in the middle like that? After you have suffered. Listen, Jesus suffered on the cross for us. And we're not any better as good as Jesus. Do you count it worthy to suffer for Jesus Christ? Church, we need to be stirred up. We've been silent too long. We've taken too much too long. The violent takes the kingdom by violence, the scripture said. Never turn the other cheek, but we take up the sword. We don't take offense, but we're on the defense. But why are we moving to offense? Why are we moving to going forward for the kingdom of God? How many of you know this country needs a great awakening? What if that great awakening depends on Boone's Creek Baptist Church waking up? What if that great awakening depends on you sharing Jesus Christ with one of your co-workers? What if that awakening depends on you sharing Jesus Christ with a homeless man standing on the street? What if that great awakening depends on you living a righteous life before your children and your grandchildren? That they may see the reality of Jesus Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We're in a battle. It's spiritual, it's personal, and it's continual. As long as we are in this body, we are in the battle. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always, you hear that word? Always. Bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Mm-hmm. Do you want to show Jesus? Get in the fight. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. What's that look like to you? Does it look like being faithful? Giving up some of your personal time? Does it look like going to the hospital and ministering to somebody instead of getting sleep? Does it look like being on your knees in prayer and you'd rather be watching a television show? Does it look like going to church whenever church season opens up? Always bearing about your body to die. Well, I thought Jesus said he came that I might have life and he might have abundant life. Yeah. The life of Jesus Christ. Jesus always sacrificed his life for others. He sacrificed his glory to be born in a manger, to live a sinless life, to be crucified on the cross, to be buried in a tomb, to be resurrected, to come back to get us, and to give us his righteousness. There's a cost. Have you counted the cost? Are you willing to pay the cost? If you're not willing to pay the cost, we need to examine ourselves. We're living in a day, and we need to be paying the cost. Always self-help does it. Spiritual, personal, continual spiritual warfare. But guess what? The victory is obtained. It's not out of our reach.
Amen.
Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching during through with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The victory is obtained. You have a way to win your battle. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying always. If you put on the full armor of God, you read the Word of God, you pray the Word of God, you obey the Spirit of God, you begin to get the victory in God. Listen, God said that he has thoughts towards us. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts to prosper you, not to harm you, give you an expected end. The God who has thoughts for you has an expected end for you. Everything God has promised you and all the resources will be given to you. The same God that spoke and made everything out of nothing, stood on the edge of nothing, hanging on nothing, and preserves it with nothing but his word, is the same God that has resources to get you through everything. If God can do that with nothing, imagine what God can do with something. If we're willing to give him something. Are you willing to give it all? We have pastors right now who are being imprisoned and tortured because of their faith, and they're holding on. Pastor Saeed. How many of you prayed for Pastor Saeed? We have pastors that are being in the military right now. Chaplains are being kicked out of the military, threatened to be kicked out of the military because they counseled in Jesus' name. This is a warfare we're living in, folks. We need to be prepared. Pastor Saeed was prepared to pay the price. He could have stayed in America, but he had a burden on his heart to go back to his people and share Jesus Christ. Do you have a burden on your heart? Or are you just coming to get fed? Do your little spiritual thing and go home and live your little spiritual life. Watch your little spiritual service. Pray your little spiritual prayer and say, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. God forbid that we become so lackadaisical, as Grandpa used to say, and lazy. We need to be standing up for Jesus. The victory is obtained. James 4:7, submit yourself to the Lord. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You want to beat the devil? Submit to God. There's nothing any better to God than a submissive saint. Just like Joshua was, we studied about this morning. He submitted to God, and God brought him across the river. You know that promised land had battles in it too? We're living on the other side of Jordan now.
Yeah. Right.
But we still got battles to fight.
Right.
But if we submit to God, it may be something silly as walking around the walls of Jericho and blowing trouble. But God will bring the victory. We need calloused knees and softened hearts. 2 Corinthians 2:14, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and make it manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Thanks be unto God, and always causes us to triumph. It's not my triumph, it's Christ's triumph. That doesn't look like I want a victory, Brother James. Yes, you did. You won the victory on the cross. Right there with Jesus. And Jesus is the winner of the battle. Brother King says we have the victory because we have the victory. He's going to get us through. So let me give you some strategies and practices to victory. We just talked about praying, casting your cares upon Jesus, for he cares for you. 1 Peter 5. Casting your cares upon Jesus. Let's exalt Jesus and not our cares. Let's worship God and not be burdened by our problems. Let's lift up Jesus and lift up our problems to Jesus. He can handle them a whole lot better than I can.
Amen.
He always causes us to triumph. If you're sick, you may not get your healing today, but you got a healing coming. Believe that?
Mm-hmm.
If you've got problems today, you've got promises for today. If you got a battle tomorrow, you've got a victory in Jesus. Yes. The fight's fixed. We win because Christ has won for us. We start by capturing thoughts. Put on that helmet of salvation in 2 Corinthians, it talks about. Put on the helmet of salvation. You know, Satan's likes to come in and plant those seeds of doubt. Come in and say, if you'd been a Christian, really been a Christian, you wouldn't have done that or said that. Well, I'm sorry. But I don't have to apologize to Satan. I have to ask forgiveness from Jesus. Let's not give place to the devil. The helmet of salvation protects the mind. You ever get up in the morning with those thoughts attacking? Man, how am I going to get through this? Put on the helmet of salvation. Think on these good things, these lovely things, these pure things, and things of good report. If there be any praise, think on these things. Put on the helmet of salvation. We're not our disease. We're not our job. We're not our title. We're King's kids. We have the mind of Christ. We have a royal adoption. We have a royal priesthood. We have a righteous king. We have a righteous law. We have a righteous word. We have the spirit of holiness within us. We're more than conquerors through Christ,
man,
who strengthens us.
That's right.
You get tired of fighting, get on your knees. And then get up and go on and fight for Jesus. You get knocked down, While you're down there, pray a little bit. Turn it over to God. He's the lover of your soul, the lifter of your head. Being a Christian is not a God of tour around trouble. It's not. But being a Christian is having a Savior walk you through your troubles. He'll never take you where He won't keep you. And He won't keep you where He won't help you. Let's start by capturing our thoughts. 2 Corinthians 10:5-6, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. If it's not a thought that's obedient to Christ, then it's not a thought from Christ. It is not. You want to find out if it's a God thought? If it doesn't agree with God's word, it's not a God thought. It's a temptation. And having an readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. When you take those thoughts captive and let God speak to your heart and to your mind, you can revenge all disobedience. Submit yourself to the Lord. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. What's that little children's song? Be careful little eyes what you see. Be careful little ears what you hear. Garbage in, garbage out. Word in, word out. Faith in, faith out. Praise in, praise out. You wind up in a battle, think on Jesus. If you wind up down, think on Jesus. The devil wants to oppress, depress, and comfort us. But he can never possess a child of God. God never lets him get in, never lets him take you out of his hand. All whom the Father has given Jesus, he's kept, save the son of perdition, so the word will be fulfilled. And God the Father is greater than he, and no man can take him out of God's hand. You realize that no matter what you're going through, the hand of God is holding you up and never going to let you down. It's not who you hold on to, but who holds on to you.
Amen.
Claiming God's word, cleansing of sin. 1 John 1:9. The first thing you need to do is be cleansed of sin. Oh, now, you're getting personal. Who in here hasn't sinned? I actually had a man come tell me one time he didn't sin. Oh, Brother James, I just want to tell you now, I don't sin. Really? What do you do with Romans that tells you that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? What do you do with 1 John that says that a man doesn't have sin, he's a liar, the truth's not in him? He didn't like that. I don't like that. Because that means I'm sinning. But we have an advocate. And we have the blood of Jesus Christ. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness, and we have fellowship one with another. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, you can fall into sin, but let's not wallow in sin. What's the difference between a Christian and a lost person? When the Christian sins, he gets sick of it. When the lost person sins, he just soaks in it. God is able to deliver us and cleanse us from sin. We don't have to live in sin. We can live in His presence. Claiming God's word, the next thing we need to do, 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. I used to love Leo Laws when he quotes that from heart. Not slack concerning His promises. Some don't count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all shall come to repentance. Do you claim God's word? Do you really trust God's word? 1 Peter 1:7. But the trial of your faith being much more precious than the gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, and may be found to the praise and honor and glory of the appearing of Jesus Christ. I heard a man talking about how finances in this nation is just going to collapse because other nations are buying gold, and that dollar bill in your pocket is just a promissory note of gold is no longer in Fort Knox. I got a promissory note that doesn't depend on God. Well, gold depends on God.
Right.
This is not going to collapse. And this word tells me I'll meet your every need according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We have gold, but it's my faith that's been tried by fire. Are you going through fire? Maybe some of the dross is coming. Cleansing of sin, claiming God's word, conquering in Jesus. Conquering in Jesus. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now, I love these little words in Scripture, now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Are you walking after the Spirit, or are you walking after the flesh? Are your eyes on Jesus, or are your eyes on the Word? This is a tough time. You look all around the things that are going on in this country and in the world. Man, this is tough times. But are your eyes on the world? Are your eyes on the Creator of the world? Are your eyes on the sin? Are your eyes on the Savior? Romans 8:37, then in all these things the Lord accomplished in Christ who loved us. You can close on time. Listen, we'll close with this. And that warning, it says in 1 Peter 5, be sober, be vigilant. Be sober, be vigilant. Let's say it together. Be sober, be vigilant. Let's not get drunk on the dirty water of the world. Let's be sober on the Word of God, the water of life. Let's drink pure things, holy things. Be vigilant. Church, we need to be vigilant. Those changes that we adopted to our Constitution, that's being vigilant. That witnessing that you do, that's being vigilant. Jesus said, will I find faith when I return? He's calling us to be vigilant. Not vigilantes. Vigilant. Watchmen on the wall. Standing up for Jesus. Standing up for the Word of God. Standing up for the Kingdom of God. Being prepared, being whole, being repentant, taking up the battle. The fight's fixed, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're more than conquerors through Christ. Brother Asa, you want to come? This is the third moment. Sing loud, though.
It's a playoff, okay.
Start off from here. This time. Here we go, of course. Okay? We saw.
Tinted and trod, we're off made to wander. Why it should be us all the day long, while there are others living about us. Nevertheless, did though in the wrong, Father alone will know all about it. Father alone will understand why. Cheer up, my brother, within the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. When we see Jesus coming in glory, when he comes from his home in the sky, then we shall meet him in that bright mansion. We'll understand it all by and by. Father alone will know all about it. Father alone will understand why should my brother live in the sunshine. Will understand it all I have.
Time to turn it over to the Lord. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We'll understand it all by and by. But today, we're called into doubt. Today is the day that we step out of here, changed by the Word of God, empowered by the Word of God, and prepared to bear the Word of God. Let's take it out of the sheath and take up the battle. Now, any amongst you that needs prayer, you're not certain that today you've been saved. You want to join in the battle. You're tired of being beaten up, beaten down, and beaten out. Today's a good day to get saved. Any of you in here today going through spiritual battles, spiritual warfare? You have an adversary who wants to lift you up, hold you up, and get you through. Father alone will understand you. Today is the day. Turn it over to Jesus. Join him, and you'll win the victory. Let's not give up, back up, slack up. Let's lift up, pray up, and pick up the cause. Amen. Any of you in here need prayer, lift your hands. Just lift your hands. You got a burden on your heart. You know someone that's lost. You want to see them get saved. You need to get right with God. Today's a good day to do it. You want to join Jesus Christ in the battle and have the victory over whatever you're going through, whatever your loved ones are going through. Today's a good day to bring it to the altar.